Nevertheless, it was debilitating, especially with Robert crawling about the house at 100 miles an hour and her increasingly unable to keep up with him. She made an appointment with Dr. Humphreys at the Orange Orthopaedic Hospital, perhaps recommended to her by Grace Fryer. In August 1924, Humphreys took an X-ray and perused it for analysis. He'd noted in his physical examination of Quinta that she could not move her hip to complete function, so he was looking especially for a problem around her hip joint. Ah, there it was. But what was it? On the X-ray, there was a white shadow, as Humphreys called it. It was peculiar, showing a white mottling throughout the bone. He had never seen anything quite like it. As John Roach later wrote of the bewildering maladies, "The whole situation is baffling and perplexing. This strange and destructive force is an unknown quantity to medical and surgical science." In fact, there was one person who had realized exactly what the problem was. One person, that is, beyond the chemist Dr. Samotolsky, who had long ago identified that such trouble as may have been caused is due to the radium. In September 1924, Dr. Bloom, having now treated Hazel Kuser for 8 months, made an address to the American Dental Association about jaw necrosis. He referenced only Hazel's case and merely in a brief footnote, but it was he who made the first ever mention in medical literature of what he now termed radium jaw. He didn't believe the company's protestations of innocence. In fact, fueled by their cold-hearted response when he had begged them to help his patient, he now promised Hazel all necessary assistance should court action be brought versus the company. One might have thought that this new term, radium jaw, and the dentist's groundbreaking diagnosis would have captured the imagination of the medical community. But in fact, it went entirely unnoticed by other dentists, by the dial painters who were not privy to medical publications, and by physicians like Dr. Humphreys in Orange. Standing before Quinta McDonald's X-ray in that summer of 1924, completely at a loss, Humphreys nevertheless had to offer a diagnosis to his patient. Quinta remembered, "They told me that I had an arthritic hip." Humphreys duly strapped her leg for a month, but, unlike with Grace Fryer, there was no improvement. And so, that summer, Quinta McDonald was encased in plaster, from her diaphragm down to her knees, to keep her body absolutely still in the hope that it would mend her troubles. "I could still hobble around," she said, "with a cane." But hobbling around wasn't much good for the mother of two young children. It was even harder trying to care for Robert and Helen after that. It is likely that Quinta's sister Albina, who was still without her own family, helped out. The two sisters now live some 15 minutes' walk away from each other in Orange. End of CD 3.